where all they do is go around in circles and squeal, squeal tires and squeal tires. You can hardly hear yourself think. I remember so vividly when we were going through the approval process at City Hall and everybody was coming to talk about why we shouldn't have an airport out here. The people at that farm, all they talked about is they didn't think they could tolerate the noise of the airport.
But I think about that
every time they do that. Anyway, so any no citizens to be heard. Okay, this is going to be quick. Okay, Christy, you got project updates you want to talk about?
Yeah. So we just put in the packet again, sort of that schedule for the apron. Kim is also going to be making some larger banners that we can hang up here. So that people that are coming in, some of the tenants, land lease holders will be able to take a look at what the schedule is. Everything, as far as we know, is still on track.
So when that gets closer, you're going to send the letter out to all of
them? Yes. Yep. Yep. Probably sometime in the early first quarter of next year, a letter will be going out to everyone.
It says here on May 20th, we're going to shut down the airport. You can't just cheat and taxi on the grass and go over here to the end of the
Right. Is the airport actually going to be closed for the 40 days where nobody can get in or out? Or?
If you can't stand the answer, don't ask the question.
Big yellow X's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone wants to come in here and do touch and go.
That's fine, but base customers, if they want to get out of here.
They can do whatever they want.
If you can find the runway.
Okay.
And we hope to, similar to the hangar pavement project, have a staff person from Mead and Hunt, you know, out here, direct contact with you guys, working with you guys. So we're going to try as much as we can to make it as best as we can.
Nothing about it. It says I can't build an asshole lane two somewhere out here.
Temporary access. And then, so that's the only thing that I had on that one. And then we have Bruce here for a recap of the 2018 fly-in, which was very successful.
Yeah, I think so. I got a count from Dave as far as the pancakes were concerned, and he said there were like 356 people that we served pancakes, and not everybody ate pancakes, so there were quite a few people there. And I thought that the flow around the airplanes was a lot better this time. We had people out there who were trying to guide people away from props and stuff like that. And with the Young Eagle flights, we had them going around behind the buildings there and stuff.
Walking back there, and then we loaded.
That seemed to work really well. So compared to past years, I thought things were really smooth this time.
And I know I spent the whole time flying kids, but I think there was probably, I don't know how many I flew. I flew quite a few, and there was like three guys flying, and they were going steady, so we must have put a bunch of kids through.
I think we flew 31.
Okay.
Could have done more, but we kind of ran out of kids, which was surprising.
That's surprising, yeah. I think they were all playing in that blow-up thing that they had.
That was very popular.
That was very popular. Did you order that?
No.
I want to know who was responsible for that. You were responsible for that. Oh. Yeah. Thank you. That was smart. That was good. That was good. Do that again.
Yeah. So apparently, it was Mike and Cindy's idea, and I implemented it.
Okay.
Apparently, the word is getting out to people and everything on that. So whatever advertising we're doing on that seems to be functioning pretty well. If we can get 356 people out here, and more than that, I think we're doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. And no major incidents.
Yeah.
So.
No.
That's the thing that really counts, is to not have any major.
Yeah, and like they'll say, you know, live and learn, and we're living and learning, so that's good.
Yeah. Now that's the good news.
Uh-oh.
The bad news is, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to run it this next time. I am taking over as Young Eagles coordinator for EAA, and that's probably going to keep me pretty darn busy, and is definitely going to keep me busy for the fly-in if we have Young Eagles there. So I'd like to see somebody else step up. I can help.
Oh, you'll be here physically for our
I'll be here. Yeah.
Okay.
But I'd like to see somebody else take over the chair of that. So.
You know, the guy that was really, during that air show, that seemed to be enjoying it a lot, and he's got a vested interest, and that's Wayne. I mean, it seemed like every time I turned around,
that's
Wayne,
right. he
Wayne was
really
in the middle
busy.
Of everything, and I kept thinking to myself, wait a minute, I think you know how to fly airplanes. You should be out here flying one of these for all the kids.
Yeah.
But in the absence of that, if he's forgotten how to fly a small airplane, we could certainly use him for, you know, kind of...
Okay,
at that
well,
time,
there's
I think, yeah, I think we need to think about getting him involved because he looked like he was really kind of getting
in. Let's get the word out there. Let's get somebody else involved here.
Okay.
Well, don't you vote him in when they're not here?
What's that?
Don't you vote him in when they're not here?
Yeah, well, that can be done. I like the way you think, Mark.
That's why I'm here.
But anyway, that's my feeling right now. I really think I'm going to be pretty busy with that all summer next year. So, okay.
So when it says T-Hanger grant closeout documents are being finalized, what did that, I didn't quite follow what that meant.
I'm sorry, where are you?
It says here, oh no, that was on the, oh, those are the minutes from the last time around, I'm sorry.
Could I just ask a little more about the it says here something about grass parking and itinerant activity may need to occur. So is the airport closed, period, or is it closed?
No, just the people? Apron areas.
Yeah, the apron.
The pink one, the pink part.
Both parts will be closed. It's being done both? In two phases.
Oh, so they're, but are they both done, are they both closed at the same time?
No.
Okay.
Yep. So
the pink first?
Yes.
And then the gray?
Yes. Mm.
Okay.
Yep.
That's even better, yeah?
So people, when the pink is being worked on, they can park in the gray area and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay.
Are you sure?
We accept that.
I the way it reads, it's going to get all torn up and then...
Yeah. I think it's
okay, so that pink part will be
done
open
first.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Okay.
But Jeff's not here to explain it too. So
pink will be open first, but the whole thing will get tore up. And then the pink will be open first, anticipated in June 28th, and then the gray is July 19th.
But there'll be a time when it's totally ripped up.
Mm-hmm.
So where would... What about guys that have airplanes here? Can they do anything? Can they fly?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to try to keep this open as much as we can.
That's what I was wondering.
Oh, this taxiway.
Mm-hmm.
Or the extension of the taxiway. Okay.
Alpha Lane number 2.
Can they taxi on the grass if they have to?
We'll have to see how safe it is and dry it is.
If you have a torrential downpour, that's probably sinking up to the hubcaps.
It's very similar to, you know, when we have to shut down a street in front of a business.
Mm.
You know, there is most definitely an impact to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to work as fast as we can to get everything back open again.
Mm-hmm. What is this black line designated?
It is just, it's one of the zones that, the construction zones that they look at, but it's not related necessarily to the project.
Mm, okay.
To the apron.
They just like to draw black lines.
It's the barricade part of it.
Mm.
Okay, is that enough for that issue?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'll just follow up by saying I'll talk to Wayne, and maybe if he's interested, I'll have him touch base with you just to see for him to get a little bit more detail on what it would entail and
that
type of thing. Okay.
Okay. Capital improvement program. I'll make one comment. I find it rather disconcerting. By the time we get to the end of the schedule, I'm 101 years old.
Well, you should look forward to
that.
Well,
but that's, all that tells me is how old I really am.
Well, and it's a good point because, you know, we used to typically focus on like a 5 to 10 year plan, and MnDOT has really been pushing for a 20 to 30 to 40 year plan to really try to get a idea of what might be coming in the future and what some of those costs are and what airport needs are, so that they can then, you know, go to the legislature and try to get funding for what they see in the future. So it is a very long-term plan,
no doubt
about it. And it can change. You know, we look at it every year. So.
It's like being a football coach. The end of the first quarter, you throw everything out and play the game.
But what we did try to do is take what we heard at the last meeting, which corresponds to the map on page 5, and some of the items that the committee thought were most important and put those towards the top. Again, for the foreseeable future, we'll be doing the apron and then moving to the runway taxiway after that. And then again, it's building up those federal funds, $150 per year, up to 4 years total, to try to get some money in the bank again for our next projects that are upcoming. Very flexible timelines again, and the estimated project costs are very estimated. So subject to change as priorities change, but
okay. All right, so as capital improvement update, one thing that is, I noticed is missing that I was looking for, what about a fuel sales report?
Okay, I just went, sorry, I didn't get that
soon
enough, but anyways, so basically, 2 months left to go on the year. We've already sold more avgas than we did last year, and then jet fuel, we've already exceeded every year on the last 10, except for the three that Steve was running commercial operations out of here. We sold 8,884.8 gallons of jet fuel and 21,288.5 of avgas.
That's during the year.
That is year to date.
Year to date, okay.
So that's, if we don't sell another drop, we'll still be above last year.
So now, I remember last time you were talking about a contract that was going to be opening up. How did that?
That never panned out. I never heard from the guy again.
Oh, I was wondering because they got awfully quiet.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was kind of wondering. You can't rattle his cage and find out what's going on, but you don't know. If he doesn't get a hold of you, then it's no use getting a hold of him, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay, well, that would have been fun to have somebody dropping through here about three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so much for the air. Anybody have any questions on the fuel? Fuel fine.
Bigger tanks.
Is it so expensive?
You want to talk about that?
It's on its way down though. We're about ready to take another load, and I think it's going to drop 20 cents.
So, Marvin, did you want to say something about bigger tanks?
Well, I think Christie's already aware of that. Would be nice.
We haven't gotten the new fuel hose yet.
That's true.
I don't know. I suppose I'll reach out to O'Day and see when it's going to be here. I don't know if they ever reached out to you, if they needed a deposit before they could order it. Or
I didn't know that they needed anything, but if they do, please let me know.
Okay.
Because even if they're not able to install it by the end of the year, I want to issue a PO because we have the money in the budget this year.
Okay.
So
I'll reach out to them tomorrow.
If there's
find
anything
out.
They need, just let me know.
Okay.
When it comes to that, I know Mike and I were talking. Apparently, you're going to be replacing some lights and stuff in
there.
The hangar.
They're
what?
I got them.
They're all stacked up. That's what's stacked up in those boxes. Okay, that's what I was kind of wondering, if that's what was in there. Okay. So now you're going to try to find volunteers to get on the ladder and hold it while you wire it up. Is that the deal?
Get enough airplanes on it.
Sounds good. So, but we thank you very much for whatever you had to do to get that. Was your helper the guy sitting next to you? Is he the one that helped you with that? Or was that? No, maybe not. You had nothing to do with that.
No.
Okay. Just kind of curious.
Okay. When is the fuel system relocation
that was
to be done?
2032.
That's pretty far. 2030 entrance road. Oh yeah, there's the fuel system relocation. That's 14 years down the road.
So, anything else
change
on
next year?
The fuel reports, fuel systems, tanks, size of tanks? If you were talking about a bigger tank, would that be putting, say, avgas in both of these and putting in a third tank for jet fuel, or how would you do that?
It'd be just as easy to put in two brand new big tanks.
Is that right?
And sell these
to
some farmer.
Oh, did you talk to O'Day or somebody about that?
Yep.
Okay, so all of that's been laid out. Okay. And you're doing all this without checking with me?
I could use a check from you, yes.
And just give an idea of that.
Donate to the cause, Roger.
The price difference for, if we were able to take 8,500 gallons of bad gas versus the 3,000 we can take right now, it's 29 cents a gallon.
That's amazing.
Savings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That we could pass on to the public. So mm-hmm. the airport,
we're more say we do 9,000 gallons a year and 30 cents a gallon, that becomes a pretty good, becomes a pretty significant mm-hmm. sum of money, and if we're going to be competitive, that all goes into, well, you'd contribute all that to the city, I'm sure, that all that profit then, wouldn't it?
Sure.
Okay. All right, anything else for the before we go to the additional agenda items? I just wanted to bring up one thing that came to my mind again, and that's something we talked about earlier, and if anybody's been over on the one side, Hangar 24 has got the tin hanging out, you know, to for the dripping, to try to open up the north hangars. And so just as kind of a check to see how effective that would be, it was about, was it 3 or 4 years ago, I think, that we put the tin out. And all we did was slide tin underneath the existing tin back to the first purling. So it just sticks up there with some screws, and then it goes out to the edge, and then it just hangs out. And the criticism, of course, was that, well, the first time we get 30 mile an hour winds, it's just going to take that tin and just bend it right up. But at least we wanted to have it out there to get a proof of concept to see how much it really does. Well, now it's been about 3 years down the line, and without any supports or fascia or anything else, the tin is still hanging out there. And what I did that year is I went out with my camera. And I took a bunch of pictures to put in the file to see what the effect of this is. And I can pass these around. Some of these first pictures coming around are going to show you what a door is like in the wintertime, all iced down, can't go anywhere. And if the person comes in and pushes the button, it goes up and it rips off all the rubber on the bottom, and now that we got to replace all the rubber. So if when you look at all these pictures, and I'll run them around in kind of an order, just see what the effect is, and it's just amazing, because I used my hangar all winter long that year, and I've taken the picture so that you can see down the line, you can see everybody iced up, and then mine is sitting out here, and the water drips out about that far out, and when the plow goes by, it just takes it right out. And so in my, the way I said no engineers, you got the Olson mod A5-406-32. Okay.
Yeah.
So what that is just 1-inch angle irons sitting on top of the roof.
Did you patent this, by the way?
No, I'm going to work
it. Okay.
So you just put this on top of the roof, actually, and screw through to the first purling and let it hang out to the edge, and you screw through there, and then the tin coming underneath that those angle irons, you screw up into those. But before that angle iron goes on, you fabricate an edge on it, mm-hmm. you know, so that when you're all done, you put this pretty little blue fascia board on it, or fascia tin across the front, and you got the cheapest overhang in the world. Well, that wouldn't be very. And I talked to the folks over there, and they said, well, we don't know if it'll hold up in the wind, but this thing's held up for 3 years without any supports whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. We haven't had a great deal of snow the last few years. What about snow load pushing down on it?
That hasn't been the problem. The biggest problem has been it blows off, and then what is there eventually melts off, and then when it melts with about that much overhang, and it drops right on the edge of the door, and the plow came by, and the plow leaves about this much snow, and then the water drips into that snow and turns just like fiberglass. You know, it just turns that snow into pure ice. So I'll start them right through this way, and I'll start them around, and you can just take a quick look at them. This is some of these first pictures coming around, just show some door edges. This one is an example of what the doors all look like down the line, all iced up. Mm-hmm. And now this is the beginning of my door. And here, for instance, is a door that's standing open because somebody tried to open it, and now they can't get it closed, and so now the hangar's blowing full of snow. So this one will come around next.
And I'll just note that the last time we did get a quote from Midland Door, it was just shy of $40,000. So it's not to say that we don't want to do it, and I'm glad Steve's here because he can talk about, we sort of have, and Joel as well, really difficult decisions to make as it relates to municipal buildings. And I think at this point it's really coming down to needs versus wants. Mm-hmm. Because Steve had a building assessment completed, which it may, you can speak to this better than me, but it basically identified red items for city buildings, which were like emergency. These things need to be fixed. And that was over $1 million.
No, that was $5 million.
$5 million worth of items.
So
when we're in the city budget process and we're trying to pick what's going to get funded and what isn't, things like this, although it would be great to, and it's not a huge amount of money, those red items are glaring at the city council and the elected officials that have to make the decisions on these budget items.
Yeah, I totally understand that, and I guess that's why I joked about the engineering thing, because at the time we talked about this, and they came up with the $40,000 to do just the north-facing hangars, that was a very exotic, much heavier duty, you know, whatever they'd engineered you had to do. At the time I talked to the folks over at Midland Door, he said, well, yeah, he said, I like your idea, but he said, I don't think it's going to hold up in the wind. And my only point right now is that a far cheaper fix, whatever it might be, might hold up better than we think, just because we've got evidence now that just plain bare tin held up fine, you know. So I'm just throwing this out because one of the biggest issues at the Morehead Airport is trying to get a south-facing hangar so you can use it in the winter. And so mm-hmm. I'll just send these around. And I'm not trying to get any action or anything else. I'm just saying it might be an issue that we maybe want to tickle our brain with a little bit again, particularly when we're going into the winter to kind of watch. So I'll send these. And all these pictures are going to be left in a file with Christy. And so she's got them on file if anybody ever wants to take a look at them.
Well, and I'd like to reiterate, I touched base with our building official, and, you know, if we did a substantial project where we would extend this, it would require a building permit, and he would require engineered drawings.
Yeah.
So therefore, additional cost would...
So in the meantime, just buy me a snowblower so I can snowblow along the doors.
That might be possible.
Much cheaper than the mm-hmm.
You're willing to walk behind a snowblower?
What the heck? Doing what to them? What he did is?
Go along each one of those?
Overhang?
Yeah.
Or what?
Based on what? Mm-hmm.
I've got a snowblower that I was thinking about. I was trying to decide what to do with it if I buy a new one. That's what I was going to
wonder. For all the hangers.
That's reliable, though.
I think to do the full building instead of just one little sample.
Well, it's pretty reliable. It's got
I think
now,
the design
so
would apply to all.
One, so.
But was the $40,000 for one building?
Was it for just for an overhang, or is that some kind of retrofit on the garage doors themselves?
It was
or?
Just the overhang.
Okay.
Can't be just for one.
I don't remember. It was too long ago.
So Christy's trying to tell us the choices are hard.
You know, and if the airport operating budget does see lower expenses than revenues, you know, we can maybe start building up a little bit there. But at this point, we don't have enough money in that fund to do that.
Whenever I try to talk to people about the airport, I continue to make this statement and confirm for me again to make sure that I'm not giving bad information. But you told me this was true, that all real estate taxes, i.e. these private buildings out here, all real estate taxes go to the general fund.
Yes.
So these real estate taxes for all these buildings are going into the general fund for the city, along with the rental of the land and so on for these private hangars.
The rental for the land goes to the airport, not the general
fund.
Oh,
that goes to the airport.
The taxes for anything in the city go into
the general fund. That's what
any ag leases, land leases, hangar rents, everything from the airport goes to the airport
fund. Okay. Yes. And I know at the time I was doing all those programs for the different service clubs and so on, you and I talked about this, and you said that if you really calculated all the money that goes into the general fund and the amount of money that the city has to subsidize to the airport, then in fact we are cash flowing.
The operating budget is cash flowing. The capital budget, like the matches for the things apron and the hangar and the runway, that is not.
No, I realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But on a normally when you look at the cash coming in and going out, like they were out there, all right, okay.
Yep. Yeah. The operating budget is balanced.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and so I make that point. And the point I like to make is that for a lot of airports, you can take Minneapolis Airport or any of the rest, the city has to rely on the positive externalities, we call it, you know, that in fact they have to subsidize the airport because it's got a positive influence on the whole city, you know. Whereas here we can actually say that, you know, the funds flowing into the general fund from the airport are greater than, other than the capital improvements, are those funds that are flowing out. Okay. I just want to make sure that I'm not saying something I shouldn't be saying.
Or balanced. Mm-hmm. Right now we're about balanced. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So if you can give me those pictures, we'll put them in the file and give them back to Cindy. Back city, there we go. So anybody else have anything else for the order? This is some kind of record.
Yeah. I just added the proposed meeting dates for 2019 on the very last page of your packet, page 6. These can change, so you know, check your schedule, see if they work for you. If anyone's going to be gone and wants to maybe move it a week up or back, let me know, but as of right now, you can punch these in your calendar for 2019.
Christy, keep me in the loop. You don't have to send me these packets.
And I think the other thing, just some other things to think about, I think with UPS coming into the Fargo Airport, you know, that's just going to move general aviation much faster out here to the Morehead Airport, I think. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just heard this from one of the guys that is very active in running the Fargo Air Show, but he said that this Fargo Air Show that's going to come next year with the Thunderbirds instead of the Angels, he said that'll be the last air show.
Yep. That's exactly what the...
Yeah, and mm-hmm. and as much as anything, it's being driven by the commercial needs of the airport.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And along with a loss of interest by a few people. But anyway, and so I think that's just another example of what's happening as military, commercial, whatever airports get separated from general aviation, and we're seeing it happen very rapidly. And I think we want to appreciate how... You know, where we're in a situation where we will rapidly become the flying cloud or the whatever, like they have down in Minneapolis, where they got all these general aviation airports. We're very rapidly becoming that airport where people are now putting in their business twins because I can get in and out faster.
Would it be viable to have an air show over here as part of the fly-in?
With the Thunderbirds.
we can't have the Thunderbirds here, but we can get the Kent Peach and some of the other people that have got the small single engine pistons, the extra 300s and whatnot, that are doing a lot of those aerobatic events. We can have everything but the military aspect
That's
of
right.
it.
My brother helped run an air show like that down in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have any longer airstrip than we've got right here. And they were very successful with that. They had one heck of a good crowd out there. So
how do you, those guys, like Peach and them, they get paid, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, then we'd have to charge ticket admission.
Yeah.
Charge sales to get in, just like the Fargo Air Show. You'd have something set up where you pay to get in at the front gate. And
but I think you'd have to, if you were really honest, you'd have to say the big draw at the Fargo Air Show is the Blue Angels.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But there's plenty of smaller airports and smaller towns that have got... You know, the smaller air shows that have, you know, not Blue Angels or anything like that, but still it draws a decent enough crowd.
I'm not saying mm-hmm. we should expect this to happen, but I was very much a part of a situation back in the 80s or so, and we got word at the Air Guard that the Air Force Thunderbirds were coming to, was it Valley City? And we said, what?
Valley City?
Yeah.
No way.
It was Jamestown or Valley City. I'm trying to remember which one.
Jamestown, maybe, but not Valley City.
Okay, maybe it was Jamestown. But anyway, they were coming to one of those two, and we all said, oh, my goodness. And the Thunderbirds were saying, we need support. They were flying F-4 Phantoms at the time, the Thunderbirds. And so they said they need to start carts and all this other stuff, and we said, okay, fine, we're going to have to send fuel trucks over, and we're going to have to send start carts. We assumed they were going to take off out of Fargo, fly over there, do their show, and then come back to Fargo.
Oh.
So that's what we assumed. You know, we said, well, that's what it's going to. And then we get this Twix comes in and says, no, 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 we're going to operate out of Jamestown. We want you to bring flatbeds with fuel. We want you to have all the start carts and everything over there so we can operate. And we said, they got like, what, 5 or 6,000 feet of runway and no barriers or anything, you know. And we thought, no way they can do that. Well, we went over, brought everything over there. We went over through the show. And it was one thing to watch them operate 4 F-4s off that little runway. But the thing that was most impressive is when they started the show, 4 F-4s taxied into formation on that little runway, and they took the entire formation off that little runway together, all in formation. I bet they had probably 2 feet on each side of the outside wheels or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, so that shows what kind of crazy things will happen. Although things have changed a lot now. In fact, now, even to get the Blue Angels in, they've had to bring in portable barriers, I mean, cables.
Yeah,
you know.
That's right. Mm.
That's how much more careful they are now. So,
if you're going to have a air show, I think you need to address parking. You don't have all that much parking here.
I think we can probably come up with something. By that point in time, I mean, Fargo's going to have another air show next year, so we got a few years to get serious about this, plan something out, talk to the Kent Peaches of the world, talk to the Confederate Air Force. We can get warbirds in and out of here all day long.
Oh yeah, that's no problem.
And that'll be a big draw as well. Mm-hmm. We'll get the warbirds in, get the other aerobatic guys. I mean, you know, go to a show like Oshkosh, biggest air show in the world, and there's, you know, every now and again you get military airplanes flying over, but the vast majority of it is the guys doing, you know, rolls and loops and all that stuff, and warbirds flying in formation. Mm-hmm. So it would be viable, I think. Be worth something to look into. Fill the void. If Fargo's going to give that up, we should jump in and take it.
I meant vehicle parking.
Oh, we can come up with vehicle parking too, I'm sure. There's plenty going out the road. We can go out around the backside of the hangars if we need to.
Titan machinery?
Hmm?
Use Titan machinery?
We can do a shuttle. We could.
Yeah, that's right. We could do a shuttle from one of those other places.
As the old saying goes, you don't know what you've got until you lose it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, 2-3 years after the end of the second Fargo Air Show, people, when they hear that, well, you know what, they're having another air show, but this time they're doing it at Moorhead. You know, you never know. People might, there's a real support for aviation, much more than you think here in the area. So that's something to think about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, like I said, if Buffalo can do it, this airport could.
Yeah.
Something
to dream about, think about. Okay. All right, anything else for the good of the order? I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Nobody wants to quit? Okay.
Second.
There you go. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Joel, have you been out at the airport before?
No, this is my first time out here.
All right.
Oh, yeah.